Noah's expression of faith began prior to building an ark. He believed the revelation of God. His faith endured as he expressed his faith as he constructed that ship. His faith endured as the animals came on board. His faith endured as the door was shut. His faith endured as the rain came. His faith endured as the waters rose. His faith endured the whole time.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is part of a series that's entitled Faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Christians express their faith in a variety of ways. However, there are times when we are discouraged by our circumstances and our faith suffers. It's my hope that through this series, your faith is built and encouraged. The Apostle Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this faith-filled message. Today's message is part 3 of A Saving Faith.
Faith is action based on a belief. Remember, notice, Noah did all that God had commanded. Noah just didn't sit in the woods and believe God was going to save him. Noah served God, believed God, and there was action on that belief. He got busy. Church, it's the same way with us. Saving faith has action. It's not that we're working for our salvation. It's just we have to respond by faith. Too many people believe that faith is believing, but faith is more than believing, and the Bible makes a clear distinction between the two. We're not saved by grace through belief. We're saved by grace through what? Faith. There's a distinction between the two. Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. However, Abraham changed his name from Abram, right, to Abraham before he ever had children. Did you know that? Before he had the son of promise. Sarah did not conceive by immaculate conception. She conceived the good old natural way, even though she was past childbearing age. He's an old man and she's an old woman. I know that's an ugly picture, isn't it? But there was action. That bun didn't get in the oven by accident. Faith must have action. Anyone can believe, anyone can really believe, but that's not faith. Belief turns to faith when there's action. Listen, if faith is belief, Satan can be saved. If belief is faith, Satan can be saved. You say, why would you even say that? Satan believes that Jesus died on the cross. Satan believes that Jesus rose from the grave. Satan believes that he is the incarnate Son of God. Satan believes and he knows that the way for us to receive our forgiveness of our sins is through Jesus. He knows all this. It makes no biblical sense then to say we are saved when we believe in Jesus and call that faith. If faith were one-dimensional and that's all it was, then I would agree with you, but it's not. Listen, if Noah had not built the ark, he and his family would have not been saved because there must have been action upon that belief. You say, Pastor, why did you say Satan can be saved? And just why would you even come up with that? Look at this. James chapter 2, verse 17. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, if it does not have action, is what? It's dead. It's like Noah sitting on the side of the woods waiting for that boat to go build itself. Verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. James writes, and I will show you my faith by my works. Listen, I'm not just going to talk the talk. I'm going to walk the walk. Are you following me? But I'm not just going to talk the talk. I'm going to talk the talk and walk the walk is what he's saying. I'm going to have both. Verse 19, you believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Sometimes Satan's response to God is more, are you following me? More appropriate than some of us. See, he believes in God, he trembles. Satan believes the Word of God, every detail. He knows the Bible better than all of us. Every detail. He's a better theologian than any of us. But this belief does not save him, nor will it save you or I. We can believe all the right things, but we must have a living faith, a daily faith, a continuing faith, a faith that testifies to our belief. Noah's expression of faith began prior to building an ark. He believed the revelation of God. His faith endured as he expressed his faith as he constructed that ship. His faith endured as the animals came on board. His faith endured as the door was shut. His faith endured as the rain came. His faith endured as the waters rose. His faith endured the whole time. He didn't give up. He didn't jump ship. He didn't leave. He stayed on board. And that's how it is with you and us. When we come to Jesus by faith, we remain by faith. If we're going to enjoy the grace of God, we remain by faith because we are saved by grace through faith. Galatians 2:20. I'm winding down. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Notice that. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, continually living, in the flesh, I live by what? By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Many people in religious culture have a conceptual faith. They confess Jesus, but he's not Lord over their life. Can I tell you that's a big problem? That's a big problem. You can confess Jesus all you want, but if he's not Lord over your life, there's a problem. Paul began that letter when I referred earlier to Galatians. When he wrote his letter to the Galatians, the first chapter, just back up a chapter, chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ. Look at that. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to what? A different gospel. Don't tell me you can't depart from the faith, because right there is another evidence we see. Turning to a different gospel, which is not another. But there were some of you, some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. People can turn away from the truth. Paul writing to this letter to the Galatian believers, there's a Jewish element within the church. Remember, the church started off Jewish and then became Jewish and Gentile, then became largely Gentile. But during this time, there were folks in the church who believed that they must return to the law. There were some that believed they could partake of grace and partake of the law. And what Paul is saying is, listen, you can't do that. You can't turn to another. You can't turn to another a message. You can't turn to another gospel, a different gospel. There are people who pervert grace. There are people who pervert grace on both ends of the spectrum. We have people that pervert grace to this place. You just believe, and that's it. That's grace. God's got grace. He'll save you. All you got to do is believe. And then we have this perversion of grace. You have to work. You have to do. You have to earn. If you want God's favor, then you have to do. Those are perversions of grace, aren't they? Both of them are extreme perversions of grace. Church, all I'm saying is this. I'm not preaching perfectionism. I'm not preaching any way that we can earn the righteousness of God. I'm just saying this. If we're born again, if we've responded to God by faith, there will be evidence. It won't even be manufactured in the flesh. It's called spiritual fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Spiritual evidence that we are born again. Do you know this? There are some people you're around that you get around and you can testify that they are a sinner because it's pretty evident. There are some people you just get around, hey, I don't even have to ask this guy. I know where he's at. And then there's some people you get around that you know that you are just in the presence of someone who loves the Lord. There's evidence. It just oozes out of them, right? There's evidence of a Spirit-filled life. There's evidence of a life of faith. Listen, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. How could there not be evidence if the Spirit abides within you? I want to ask you this. When did that occur for some of you? When did that occur? And if it hasn't, why don't you take care of that today? See, I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care what member of a church you've been. None of that impresses anyone. Shouldn't impress anyone. Don't hide behind the veil of religion. Hide yourself in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm empty of myself. I've given my life. The life that I now live, I live by faith to the Son of God. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. It's more of him and less of me. The longer we serve Jesus, see, More of him, less of me means this. I want, I need this. I usually react because I want this for myself, but there comes a time in our relationship with God where we finally, like, this happens. We're like, you know, I used to say I want this my way, but now I don't care. It's not about me. And if I need to give this away, if I need to give this up, then I'll do so. Not because I have to, because I want to. See, the real evidence you have is in yourself. Not from me, not from anyone else. If I have to tell you you're saved, there's something wrong. But you know that you know when you're knower that something has changed and something is changing. And you live a life that testifies that Christ is in you. You know that you know. God's changed you, your attitude, your actions, the way you think about things. Ephesians 2:8 again. For grace, by grace, you have been saved through faith. How do you know if your faith is a living faith or if it's a conceptual faith? Remember, a conceptual faith is just belief. That's all it is. Church, can I tell you, you don't want a conceptual faith. You want a faith that is full of action, an obedient faith, and a faith that serves Jesus. It's not about knowing about Jesus. It's about knowing him. Let me ask you 10 questions. Do you enjoy worshiping God? Do you enjoy worshiping God? Well, I have to have this song or I have to have this song. Then you don't enjoy worshiping God. See, worshiping God is irrelevant to what song you sing. Listen, if we think that it's a certain style, when we get to heaven, we're going to be sorely disappointed. Because, see, there's going to be 2,000 years of Christians. If Jesus were to come back today, right, there'd be 2,000 years of style we're going to have to work through. Have you ever thought about that? We make, it's just silly what we do. What is that? That's just our flesh. That's your personal preference. You may prefer a certain style. There's nothing wrong with that. But to say that style is the right style, friend, there's more important things than style. Worship, communion with God is not based upon a song or a style. Listen, you should be able to worship God no matter what the music is. Do you enjoy worshiping God? Secondly, do you enjoy fellowshipping with redeemed people? You better, because you're going to spend eternity with them. If you're a Christian, I'll do that then. No, you will never make it, friend. You're never going to make it. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the two commands that Jesus gave us. Do you walk in the light or do you walk in the darkness? Do you walk more in the light and less in the darkness? That's a better way to put that. Are you obedient to God's word? Are you being obedient to God's word? Does your life indicate that you love God more than you love this world? Is your life characterized by doing right, or is it characterized by doing wrong? Are you seeing a decreasing pattern of sin in your life? Notice I'm not preaching that you sinlessness. I'm just saying this. Is there a decreasing pattern of sin in your life? There should be if you're born again. Do you demonstrate love for others? Do you walk the walk? And do you talk the talk? Or is it just that you talk the talk? Number 10, do you experience victory in your walk with Christ? Do you experience victory in your walk with Christ? Noah's decision to express his faith continually through trials, through circumstances, resulted in the preservation of mankind. Aren't you grateful for that? God's plan was to preserve mankind through Noah. However, Noah had a choice. And if Noah had not built the ark, things would be different. What would God's alternative plan be? We don't know. We just simply know, thank God, that Noah responded to God by faith. Amen. Saving faith goes beyond ourselves. It extends to others, affects our families, our children, and our grandchildren. Our faith may seem insignificant at times, but ask Noah. Faith is not insignificant. Saving faith is very significant. When the world perishes, but God is saving you, it's significant. Amen.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. The Word of God calls believers to walk by faith and not by sight. I pray that through hearing this message, your faith has been encouraged as you walk by faith. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850 537-8351. Our web address is www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.